hearts. And God, without you, we would never be able to face what we face in this world. And you've gifted us and you've given abilities. And I pray that all of them are given back to you. And Father, as we just come together today, Lord, may we just quiet our hearts and our minds. And Father, may we come boldly to your throne, but may we sit very humbly at your feet. May we listen to what you have for us today. And God, I just pray that you just speak through me to the hearts of each here today. We thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we gather this morning, again, looking into the Word, we're sort of jumping away from James this morning. We've been going through the book of James and doing a study in James. I'd love to do the book studies, but we're going to jump off a little bit today and do a study about moms. And one of the greatest things, and I'm convinced, and I've said before, that when you and I look, and I have a tremendous fear for my grandkids in the world in which they're going to have to defend the cause of Christ. Because in Christians today, there are many today who are even having a hard time defending their faith in their workplace because of some of the things that are coming back against them. And we have young kids coming up through the ranks who are, again, being faced and being questioned and being challenged with things that are unbelievable. I can't imagine a 12-year-old that was mentioned from Hillary. Man, at 12-year-old, I was running around jumping dirt bikes and going fishing every day. I was having fun. I didn't have to face some of that stuff. And we live in a world where, the adult decisions are being forced and pushed on young children. And so I fear for my grandkids, and I look at this and I say, yeah, you know, God, what can I do? What can I teach them that will get them through the terrible world that's coming? And the only thing that keeps coming back is teach them your faith. Teach them your faith. Because of my faith to my God and because of your faith to your God, we're able to handle the things that we've gone through in life. And listen, we've all been down that road. We've all had a road of trails to face and trails to walk. And we've all had that experience where our bottom of our world was knocked out from us. And so when we think of that, it's like, what got me through the most difficult times in my life? And it was my faith. And it's not just the faith. Because if you don't do anything with your faith, then it's just mere words. To exercise your faith, you have to trust the object of your faith. If your object of your faith is anything but God, then you don't have a lot of trust in it. But when your object of your faith is God, you can trust that God. Has he ever let you down? Has God ever said, you know, I'm going to watch you swim for a while. You can blow a few bubbles every now and then, but I'll get you. You know, in Peter, when he walked on water, Peter's life was sustained by the look on Christ. Christ was standing there. Did he reach out to Peter yet? No. Did he say a word to Peter yet? No. Peter walked on water and he just was walking. Why? He was focused on Christ. As soon as he took his eyes off Christ, what happened? He started blowing bubbles, didn't he? Then God reached down and picked him up. You see, in our life, the best thing we can play forward in our life is our faith in Jesus Christ. Because when that's played forward, man, you know what? It doesn't matter what this world looks like. My grandkids are going to be all right. Doesn't matter what this world throws at us. We will be okay because the God of yesterday and today forever is going to give them exactly what he's given us. And so this morning, I want to challenge you ladies, you moms, to play forward your faith in Christ. And one of the examples we have in scriptures, I think, is a phenomenal example. But before we get there, we're going to go to Ruth. If you have your Bibles, I trust you do. Turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. We're going to look a little bit into how things began for her and how Naomi played her faith forward. But before we get there, Helen Steiner Rice said this: a mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and sacrifice and pain. In the endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. And that is a love of a mom. And you do not, listen, I love the woods. I go to walk. I am not afraid of anything in the woods. But I am afraid of a mama bear on a mission. Oh, that was pretty weak, guys. You're all hiding behind something here. That was pretty weak. There is nothing more fierce than a mama bear on a mission. You don't mess with mama bear and mama bear cubs. That love that they have is amazing, and it goes deeper. And you know what? Nothing can destroy it. Because it come from God, and no matter how our children, and you know my philosophy of kids, they're great until they make their own choices, then you don't know what to do with them. When they make those choices that put you on your knees and in tears, play your faith forward. Trust in that God, because God will have them and take care of them better than you can. And that's the faith that we want to see. And when we go into Naomi, and we're going to look at Naomi a little bit, the first thing we see, her faith to return. Look at Ruth chapter 1, looking at verse 6. Now, just a little bit ahead up of the story, we know that the reason why Naomi and Ruth were here in Moab, basically a long time before this, at least 10 years before this, the scripture says, that they traveled from Bethlehem, which is about 50 miles east on the other side of the Dead Sea. And so they traveled down there because there was a great famine in land. And the only thing that some of the men were, the scholars were saying, that they probably realized that there was no famine down there. So they traveled down there because of the famine. But as you and I realize in our lives, God will bless us where we are, not where we think we need to go. Many times when we think we need to go somewhere because it's better on that side of the fence or better on this side. Listen, that's why bad choices. It all looks good. And if you want something that God has not intended for you to have, Satan is going to hand it to you on a silver platter. And it'll look great. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be on that other side. And you're going to look back and you're going to see it wasn't as good as you thought it was. That's what we call decisions. That's what we call bad decisions. And so when we see this, we know that they're down there. Now, Naomi is in a little bit of a hard time because her husband, Elimelech, died. And then after that, her two sons died. And so when her two sons died and her husband died, back in the culture, and again, I stress all the time, you got to go back into their culture, go back into their custom codes and creeds to understand the significance of that. A woman without a husband in the biblical times meant she had no security, she had no money coming in, and was taken advantage of on every opportunity in life. They had no say. They had no nothing. There was no security in that. So that's why we find Naomi in verse 6 saying, we've got to go back. I got to go back. And she's going back where? She's going back to her home, going back into Bethlehem. So with that stage being set, we find in verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law and that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard the country of Moab, how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Does that surprise you? I mean, she's away from where God intends her to be. And then she hears, oh, God's blessing where I should have been. God's blessing them. So she makes this return. And I want you to catch this. In the Hebrew, this word return has a little bit more significance than what you and I would understand it to be. Because when you see, again, in the English, a lot of things don't translate over from the Hebrew and Greek and Arabic and into English. And when it doesn't translate over, you miss so much of the meaning. And this is awesome, because what it means is that her faith to return, and listen, sorry, I got ahead of myself. Let me give you one more. Her faith to return and to listen is because she might return from. When she wants to return from, what that means, it's an illustration of repentance. This is a phenomenal story. In this moment, when Naomi says that might return from the country of Moab, in her circumstance, she just realized that she is not where she should be with God. So in order for her to play her faith forward, she needs to realize she's got to get on the same page with God. She's got to get into that realm. She's got to go where God is. And listen, how many of us today need to turn from where we are and go back home? Go back home with God in order so that we may be able to play our faith forward. So the illustration of repentance, what she turned from? She turned away from Moab, which she thought was her place of security. Then she turned away from the errors of her past. And I can't say how important that is. She turned away from the errors of her past. What was the error of her past? Well, she was following her husband, so that was not an error. But they all came down, and they all moved away from God. They moved away from where God said he was going to be, and that was Bethlehem. And as they moved away, how many of us need to realize that we've got to move away from the errors of our past? Listen, if you are here today and you are desiring something that you can't have, or if you are struggling with letting go of something you may have done, you are missing every blessing in the moment. You are missing every blessing in the day. And it's no wonder why you all look like you do. I'm just saying, smile, it's okay, all right? We need to get excited about why. Because God says, listen, when you return, when you have a repentance, when you come back to God, guess what? That's a joyous moment. That's a joyous moment in your life. Because why? Because now you can move forward from that moment and move on for God. You see, it's a turning away from the errors of the past. And Naomi, when she says this into this verse 6, that she had heard the country, that was the reason. But what she's turning away from was much more. So not only that, but she turned away from the graves of her loved one. She buried her husband and two sons in Moab. And what she said is that going to find my God and going back home to him where I need to be is more important than staying with the men of earth. Boy, is that hard, isn't it? That's hard. I mean, and I know there are many in here today that may not have their mom today. And it's hard just to walk from that. But listen, I'm going to tell you, if you know that your mother is in heaven today, rejoice. Thank God. Don't ruin the blessings of the day by not returning where God is. I'm going to tell you, this one verse, I studied this verse, and I studied this verse, and I said, I could literally preach a whole month on this verse. There is so much in this return that Naomi is experiencing, that Naomi is feeling and moving forward in her life. She's setting aside every emotion. She's setting aside every past error, every past decision, every past sin. She's setting everything aside, and she's moving forward back to God. Folks, if we want to play our faith forward, ladies, if you want to play your faith forward and teach it, that's how you do it. You have to start with returning back. And listen, there are many of you doing it well. Many of you doing it great. But we are human, and in any given day, we may find ourselves in this problem. We may find ourselves in this spot. Find ourselves away from where God really intends and wants us to be. So the first challenge that we find from Naomi in playing her faith forward is that I need to get back in relationship with my God. I need to find my God. And I know we've all been there sooner, sometime in our life, maybe even here today, some of you were there and listening on live, and maybe some of you were there. But listen, it is the greatest step you'll ever make. It is the greatest turn you'll ever do. Repentance, turning back to God. What an amazing thing, her faith to return. It's much harder for you and I to admit and repent than it is just to keep on going and ignore and let it go. And that will lead you nowhere except idle in the service of God. So her faith to return. The second thing we find is her faith to listen. Go to verse 16 through 18. And we're going to jump skip. I encourage you to study through this chapter or through this book and understand it more. But we're going to jump down in verse 16. And it says again, and Ruth entreated not to leave thee or return from the following after thee, for whether thou follow after thee or whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. But when she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So what is now transpired is Naomi told both of her daughter-in-laws, again, why? For the security of life, you need to stay in Moab. Why? Because they were both Moabites. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 23, and it gave a restriction from the nation of Israel to marry outside of Israel. Canaanites were mentioned. Many of the other ites were mentioned. But the Moabs, they were never mentioned. So, now, I don't know if my son's watching this or not, but if he is, he'll say it's true, I think. He may not admit it, I don't know. But he had a way, and I'll give you a quick illustration. Did you punch your sister? No, I did not punch her. Yes, he did. I did not punch her. What'd you do? I hit her. Okay. This is a situation we're dealing with here, okay? God told him in Deuteronomy 23, don't marry outside of Israel. Why? Because Israel was the chosen nation of God. Don't marry the unsaved. Don't marry outside. Well, you didn't mention Moabites. Same concept. If God said don't marry outside, you don't marry outside. But they did. The two sons did. In fact, some of the scholars believe that that was the reason why Amalek and the two sons died. Because they were out of this, they were in disobedience to God's will. John chapter 15. He is the husbandry. He is the one who trims the vine and the branches. You don't bear fruit, he'll take you home. I mean, that's God's choice, right? God brought you into this world, he can take you out. He allowed that to happen. So, very loving God, right? Made that sound really good, didn't it? Anyway, he's very compassionate. When we find that in Naomi, Naomi's encouraging him, go find. And it's interesting, when you read down through here, you'll say, in fact, in verse 8, Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to their mother's house, for the Lord deal kindly with you as he hath dealt with the dead and with me. The mother's house. Go home to your mother. Why? Because that's the only security you're going to have in the world in which they lived in, is to go home to their mother. Because they had no husband. They wanted to go, and then she goes on and said, listen, I'm too old. If I get married again and have kids, you're not going to wait long enough for my child to raise up to be old enough to marry you. So in the biblical times, they were, if the husband died of the lady, the husband's brother was to take her and marry her and then have children with her so that their brother's name would not be lost in the inheritance. How's that sitting with you? Yeah, you got good brother-in-laws? I hope so. I don't know. Not sure I like that one. But anyway, we better just let that one go. That's a whole different sermon. As we see what Naomi's facing, what she's going through, and Ruth is persistent. Ruth does not stop. You see, Ruth's faith now, it was Naomi's in the first, now it's Ruth's faith. But see, it's Naomi's faith to listen. She told and told and said, no, you're not going with me, you're not going with me. But Ruth was a little persistent in this. So what we find in this, in what Ruth's statement of commitment was, first of all, where you go, I will go. It's a commitment that says, I am not going anywhere and you're not going anywhere unless we go together. That's a strong commitment. Second thing we find, where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you lay your head down, I'm going to lay my head down. Where you stop, I'm going to stop. Where you go, I'll go. The third thing that's mentioned in that scripture is, your people will be my people. Now, is that significant? A Moabite now is going to become an Israelite. What happened? Repentance and return. Through the faith of Naomi's returning to her people, Ruth, unsaved, becomes one of God's children. That's what moving your faith forward is all about. That's what it's all about when you play your faith forward and you actually show that you trust in a God. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. She's now committing her heart over to God. How important that is in our life. We get to the third point. Her faith is even when life hurts. Even when life hurts. You see, the first phrase was about return and repentance. Ruth's commitment is about what a relationship with God should look like. God, will you go, I'll go. God, will you lodge, I'll lodge. God, it's all about you. I want to be one of your people. I want to be with you, God. And it's all about the commitment that we see, that we can have in a relationship with God. And the third thing, her faith, even when it hurts. And I tell you, This is probably the hardest moment in a Christian's life living in this earth. When you and I have to go through the hurdles, go through the struggles, go through the things that we face in this earth. Listen, God, all through the Old Testament, when Israel as a whole was disobeying him, he would send the armies in, and the armies would come, and they would just annihilate the nation of Israel. And the good, faithful remnant of people, guess what? They got hit too. We're living in a very sinful world. We're living in a world where they're rejecting God, where they are rejecting God's way of doing things, rejecting God every way impossible. So don't be surprised if you get hit. Because we're living in that world. We're still part of the remnant. We're still the faithful, still doing it right, but we're going to get hit. So how do we live our faith in the days it hurts? Naomi very clearly puts this through, as we see, as we bring this to an understanding this morning. The question we find in verse 19 says, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, 'Is this Naomi?'" Simple question, right? Is this Naomi? Her response is, "Call me Mara." That Hebrew word name Mara means to be bitter or sad. "Don't call me Naomi. You got to be kidding me. Do you know what God has done to me?" And we're going to see Naomi grieve out loud. Maybe you're here grieving today. Maybe you're grieving out loud somewhere. Naomi begins to grieve out loud, because why? When she says in verse 20, "And she said unto them, 'Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Why are you calling me Naomi? Don't you know what I've been through?'" Listen, that can resonate with many, huh? Anybody been there? Anybody still there? You resonate with that. Because what she's doing is she's grieving out loud to the people around her, to the people that knew her prior to. Obviously, they knew her well because they were moved when they saw her. They understood that she was there, and they knew that she was alone, and they knew. And all of a sudden, they begin to realize what was going on, and she's grieving to God. But even in her grief, she remains faithful. And that is huge in playing your faith forward. Because what we find is that went out full, came home empty. What does that mean? That means she went out with a husband and two sons, and she came home without them. The next thing we find is that the Lord has afflicted me. The Lord has done all this to me. And how important that is when we see this and we find this in the scriptures. She's really just simply crying out. But what we need to understand is that look again in verse 20. After she says, "Call me Mara, for the Almighty," the word Almighty, and she ends in verse 21, "The Almighty hath afflicted me." Faith in God becomes very personable when she knew that the Almighty God was the one who allowed her to go through this. The Almighty God allowed this. The Almighty God afflicted me. It is He's the one. It was His fault. It's interesting. Psalms 3:5 says that we sleep at night. God holds us, sustains us as we sleep at night. And I've always said the only reason why you and I wake up is because God allowed it. Psalms 3:5 says that. God is the one who holds our last breath. God is the one in control of that last breath. And when that last breath goes, guess what? God holds them. God hangs on to them. And so when we find this in scriptures, and what Naomi's doing, even though she's grieving out loud, she's still, by putting those almighties at the beginning and the end, she's still saying that there is a personable God that is in charge of my hard days, that is in charge of my hard times. And so what does that do? It continues to have her faith, continues to allow to have that. Started and ending with the Almighty. And that is huge when you're trying to play your faith forward. Because it's hard at times, isn't it? It's difficult at times for you and I to simply say, you know, I don't feel like today. It hurts too much today. When we acknowledge that the Almighty God is in the middle of it, you know what that brings? Hope. If God is in it, isn't there hope? If God is in it, isn't there a way through it? Isn't the valley have an opening and an end? Ecclesiastes 4 says there's a season, there's a time, there's a start and a stop, there's an opening, there's a closing, a time to plant, a time to reap what was planted. And so all that we go through in life, and I tell everybody I can when I'm going through the hospital or something and I'll see them having a bad day, I'll say, listen, whatever you're going through, it's only 24 hours. It's all, a day's a day. And they turn around and look at me like I'm totally gone, totally lost. I'm in the wrong hospital. I need to be the other one. As we see what this scripture says, though, there's a time and a season. For Naomi, her faith, even when life hurts, was being shown in her grief. She still cried out to her God. And so in this whole concept, as we see in verse 22, Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her and returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem and the beginning of the barley harvest. And you're like, so what? There's two blessings, two things she came home with. She didn't come home empty. She came home with Ruth. She came home at the time of the harvest. Remember, she was in a drought, right? They were like in a major drought. There was like nothing to eat. Now she had no husband to supply for her. She had no sons to supply for her. And very fortunate when all the harvesters would leave the field that they would miss something and they would be scrounging around looking for these little pieces of grain on the floor just to survive. Today we call them the homeless, because that's what Naomi was. She was homeless until she made it home. You see, she was homeless and acted homeless until she made it home. Now, why were those two blessings? When Ruth came with her, it's the transition. You can already see how God is setting Ruth up to be used in Naomi's hope. Because Ruth was there, guess what? She could marry Boaz. You know the whole story. She marries Boaz. And even at that, God has had his hand in it because Boaz wasn't next in line. There was someone else next in line. And so Boaz calls all the elders together in the front of the gates, and he calls them together, and he says, I want everybody to be a witness. Do you want to buy Elimelech's land? Do you want to marry Ruth? And he, nope. Evidently, he was already married and had enough. I don't know. But he wasn't going to marry Ruth. Boaz said, I will. And that was the savior of Naomi. She now had security. Because why? Because he married Ruth. They had a son. And guess who got to be nanny? Naomi. God was providing her hope in the midst of her grief. And she didn't even know it. Isn't that like God? Man, he is there. He supplies. He has already figured it out. See, my hope doesn't exist that I know tomorrow. My hope exists because I know who does know tomorrow. And if God holds my tomorrow and I hold his hand, it doesn't matter what it looks like. I'll have my faith and trust in him. I will let him guide me through whatever he guides me through. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That means sometimes it's going to hurt. But it also means it's going to be doable because he is the God of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Our takeaway from this morning, what do we take away? How can we take this and apply it to our everyday life? Well, this story to me is amazing, playing our faith forward. Ladies, you have the unbelievable, grandmas, the unbelievable opportunity to teach this to your kids, to teach this to your grandkids, your faith. Because when you teach your faith, you have given them greater than any inheritance you could ever give them. So the first thing we understand, where does your faith lie? Is God personable to you? Is the object of your faith who he is, not what he can do? Because sometimes God chooses to do things you don't like, huh? Sometimes God chooses to do things you're not on board with. It's not what he can do, it's who he is that your faith lies in. And if today your faith is not personable to God, boy, you need to make that choice today. You need to have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing, is your relationship with God so in tune that you hear his voice and listen? Listen, there's a lot of screaming voices out there. Now, I didn't say they were in your head. If they're in your head, we have a different conversation. There's a lot of screaming voices out there. We are so busy surviving in this world. There are so many opportunities for you and I to go and do and be and be a part of things. And we are very busy and just a lot of things. Are you so busy you can't listen to the still small voice of God? Are you so busy you don't hear it? You don't listen? And so that's the next question you need to answer. God, slow me down. Oh, that don't pray that. That's a rough one. God has a big 2x4 sometimes. Sometimes we need to slow down. Sometimes we need to pause long enough to hear that voice. When we hear that voice, will you listen? What is God asking of you today? What is God instructing you to do today? Will you listen to that voice? The last thing we have this morning, exercise your faith. Know that God is your hope and play it forward. Don't hoard your faith. That is the one thing that you and I have that no one can take away. You can choose to let it sit idle. You can choose not to trust it. But by God's grace, you and I will be able to stand bold, stand up, share our faith, and we will be able to be known as the true children of God, the true Christ followers. And you know, I don't like the word Christian because it's so changed today. A Christ follower. If you follow Christ, then this will be your list. And I challenge everyone, challenge you ladies, challenge everyone here today, answer those questions between you and your God today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for, again, the moms, the ladies, the godly women that you have allowed us to have the known, to have the presence in. And Father, for our own moms, we thank you gratefully. And God, today as we see this and we understand this, I pray that these questions that come at the end are questions that are understood and seen and really dealt with today in the heart. Because this is going to make all the difference in how well our children and grandchildren handle the world in which they'll live. And God, I pray you continue to stir us, continue to move us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.